from Melbourne's mean streets.
You could say this was the murder we missed.
A story you'll have to hear to believe.
He said he was a 200-year-old vampire.
Why was Shang Chantra's abbot gunned down before giving evidence?
Two men shot him down. It's a mystery within a mystery within a mystery.
Listen now to this untold true crime story from Adam Shand. The Trials of the Vampire at podcastone.com.au or download the app.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for the Hospital Research Home Lottery, 104.7 Triple M.
Craig, are we going back to the start of winter or what? Are we just halfway through?
Oh my God,
it's freezing.
I went into the CBD to have lunch yesterday with a mate, and it was the coldest I could ever recall.
You've got the biggest, thickest jacket I've ever seen.
I hate being cold. Oh, bring on summer.
Well, it's 3 degrees outside at the moment in little old Adelaide. Three degrees.
Yeah, coldest day of the year yesterday. I think it got down to 11 and a half down on the flat. And 6.3 top at Mount Lofty or something. So she's cold.
Yep.
If you think you're getting old and feeling the cold more, you're not. Nah. It's just cold.
Yeah, we're all cold together.
All right.
Tex Walker's coming in this morning, Roo, and we need to know about that toenail.
How's your toe, Tex?
Has he fixed it up?
Pete Hellier's going to join us as well today.
The Angels.
We've got a massive... the Angels are going to join us. We've got a massive announcement just before 8 o'clock too today. Footy related.
Okay.
I'll just say.
Righto.
All right.
Yeah, no, like that. Hey, Roo, very, very serious thing. Now, you've got two little girls who, in the blink of an eye, are going to be teenagers.
Yep.
You know something I hear all the time? I've got two sons. People say...
What, are you trying to match them up?
Or no, I've been doing that all my life. No, but you know, how many people do you come across and say, oh, I've got teenage girls? And it's like doom and gloom and a negative, and you think, oh, you got, 5 or 6 years of pain, have you? Why do we all think that and why do we say that? Now, there's a study out at the moment actually telling us, like, how much drama there is with girls. Mm. And it's absolutely shocking. It really is.
Do you believe it?
Well, you sort of do because you hear it.
Probably after a bit. If it's half as bad.
Yeah. Divide it in two, 20%. It would still be bad.
Mm.
We're going to get to the bottom of this today. There is a study out talking about just how much young girls go through. And I had one of my nieces say to me recently, who's 14. What?
Did you burp on air or not?
No.
Oh, sorry, I thought you did.
Sorry. I'm talking about something very serious here, Ruth. Sorry.
No, it's all right. I'm with you.
You're making light of my...
No, I wouldn't do that.
But a young girl saying that going to high school is like real hard work. I said, why? She goes, oh, just the pressure you're under. Yeah, I never hear a boy say, oh, going to high school, gee, the pressure about what I'm wearing or what I look like.
I'm going to get dunny flushed today.
Exactly. Could get my head flushed down the toilet. That's usually the first day of high school.
I was pretty nervous.
Once we get that out of the way. Yeah, but once we get that out of the way as boys.
Don't you realise it's not that bad?
We're done. Yeah. I don't know. There just seems to be this real stigma about...
Oh, well, we'll get the Angels in later on to have a chat about that as well, Dits, because... that sounds like a massive issue if it's as high as 40%.
Yeah, all right. It's Ruined It's here on Triple M, all thanks to the Hospital Research Home Lottery. Get in quick because it sells out very, very quickly.
Ruined It's for Breakfast, 104.7 Triple M.
Hey, Roo, plenty making news around the world.
Mm.
Texas, Houston, it's the worst... We have a problem, Houston.
Dan Houston gets the ball, I feel like a commentator wants to say that.
Yeah. They've said it a couple of times. Yet? Yeah, it has. Mm. Yeah. So we need to get smarter.
All right.
Anyway, worst flooding. This has affected 500,000 people, would you believe? 500,000 people affected. 30,000 people have lost their homes. This morning, helicopters are flying around and plucking people off the roofs of their houses. This is how bad the flooding is. Now, you always know about inches and millimetres and things of rain, Roo. They had a metre of rain over the last, 48 hours, a metre. How much is that?
Well, it's 25 inches, which is a lot of rain.
Mm.
Mel said they, what'd they tell people to do, Mel?
Early on in the piece,
about people's safety?
Yeah, when they said that this was bearing down on them, they said it's going to be such carnage that please write your name and your social security number on your arm in Sharpie permanent marker.
You're joking. Well, I've never heard of that
before. Like a triathlon.
Hell.
Yeah, I can't remember the official who said that, but it was someone high up and qualified who said, I hate to say this.
We need to start doing that on Saturday nights when we go out.
I live at such and such.
Just write your address on your arm.
Please call my wife.
For the well, there are 34 trillion litres of rain.
Hell.
It's so they are 14 million Olympic swimming pools worth of water.
And so, they can rest assured knowing that Donald Trump's flying in there today, so he'll fix it. He'll be right.
Trumpy. Yeah. That'll be climate change.
Yeah.
Someone will blame that.
Now, what about this story? We've been pretty good at murders here in South Australia. We're known as the old
Capital of Australia.
We are the murder capital of Australia. However, we can't compete with this. What's the most you've ever heard of? Does anything spring to mind about serial killers around the
around
world?
Around the world.
Anywhere? Anyway, the reason I raise this, I've just read this morning, there's a fella being prosecuted in Germany right now for 180 murders.
What?
180. Now, he's face caught already. He was banged up back in 2015 for two murders in a nursing home. Turns out he's now admitted he did it out of boredom. What he would do is give these people an overdose and then revive them. He said, I got bored on duty sometimes, so I'd deliberately give them more. And then
is he a doctor?
He said, he's a nurse. And he said, the thrill of bringing them back to life just made the job a bit more interesting. He said, but I lost a few along the way. This is what he's saying. And he's killed.
How did he get away with that? No idea.
They now think he's given overdoses to 180 patients.
Obviously, he had too much
power or
influence there, and no one checking on the deaths. And bloody hell.
How amazing is that? So this will get a lot of publicity over the next few days. This will be the biggest serial killer in history, amazingly.
Gee, that's a bit bigger story than my next one I was going to bring up, Dit.
It's not a competition.
Well, it feels like a little bit, because we love our coffee here, and we love a survey here, don't we?
Yeah.
If you have four cups of coffee a day,
mm-hmm.
you're likely to live longer than people who don't.
Really?
It's good for you.
Is that right?
Much better chance of dying early, dying while you're young.
Did the Coffee Makers Association put this out, or who put it out?
Probably had
someone
a
reputable
bit to do with Nescafe or Makona or But that's just another little stat, as we have our first coffee for the
day. Do you like my new coffee cup, by the way? Which I know people can't see, but you can describe it.
P.A.
Yeah, Port Adelaide. It's finals time. I've bought a new coffee cup.
Oh, that would have...
Just to get into the mood.
More money for Port Adelaide.
Yeah.
They're rattling the tins again down there, are they?
That's right. Coffee cups are our new thing.
They'll find anyway. Have you got a new dog bowl this year?
No, still using last year's.
Is Billy upgraded his membership to Gold
Plus? He'll get it in the post soon. He'll get it. He'll get it in
Does
the
he
post
get a rug
soon.
For winter?
Yeah. Yep. Gets a Guernsey.
Oh, Bill does.
Wear your favourite number.
Don't tell me he gets a little rug.
Of course he does.
Does he?
Yeah. Got his little footy.
Come on.
We're in between goals when they
Someone's
go to ads.
Someone's going to get done for fraud.
We
down
kick
there
the footy around.
They are ruthless buggers.
Oh, what?
Is that all in one package? Like, you know, under kids get all the crows pack and footy, you know, port pack with your ball and posters. Do they get a dog pack? Or
what? The best bit I like is he gets a letter. Dear Billy. Like, I know
he's
a border collie. He's smart. but I feel like ringing him saying, come on. He's not reading
bloody
it.
Food. All they want is food.
That's right.
You know? A bit of a bed.
I handed him the letter and he just threw it in the bin. Screwed it up.
You know? Dog ate me homework.
Don't waste my time.
Ruined Tits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M Roo. This man will be up and about. What an announcement, yes. Two big announcements that will change his life forever.
Yep.
Peter Hellyer, good morning.
I'm celebrating both announcements. I haven't been to sleep yet. I've been watching old grand finals, Collingwood grand finals, and a Madam Secretary marathon as well. So,
right.
It's a Collingwood CBS double.
Yeah, I want to get to the CBS first. You've got a new boss. You've got a new owner.
Oh, and thank God. Thank God CBS have come in. Hopefully the cash injection will happen soon, because I got to say, the pen we've all been sharing at the project is starting to run out of ink. And it'll just be nice to get some refills. But everyone had a bit of a spring in their step at Channel 10 yesterday. CBS, obviously, massive TV corporation. And there'll be some changes, of course. I think we're now known as the Big Bang Project. there'll be a CSI Gogglebox, which I look forward to. And MasterChef will now be known as Two and a Half Chefs. So it'll be Gary, George, and Matt Preston's been put on the Eddie McGuire diet. So he'll be half a chef soon. But no, very good news, CBS, and we're excited to see what's ahead.
And Nathan Buckley re-signed for 2 years. You'd be stoked with that.
Oh, absolutely the right call. I think the bloke can coach. What were your thoughts, actually, just before I move on?
Well, did Strawny get a phone call to see if he was up for the job before they reappointed him or not?
Well, obviously, Eddie doesn't tune into our ruined bits disappointing because, you know, I thought Strawny made a pretty good pitch for the job a couple of weeks ago on the show. So, you know, he missed out. But Eddie, I watched the press conference yesterday. Eddie, of course, vowed to make Collingwood great again. So
yeah, I saw that.
So this starts by it's a 3-point plan. So we're nuking Carlton. we're building a wall around the Holden Centre, and we're adjusting our membership numbers. We said we had 80,000 members, but we actually have 8 million. So it's funny, perception and reality are different things.
I don't know what you have to change, really. I mean, finishing 13th, I thought that was fantastic.
And I'll just go through Buckley's record: 2012, 17 wins, come fourth. 2013, 14 wins, come eighth. 2014, 11th wins, come 11th. 2015, 10 wins, come 12th. 2016, 9 wins and come 12th. 2017, 9.5 wins, 13th.
You call it consistent.
So we're on the up. We're on the up.
You've just
that half a win.
That's right. That draw against the Crows really separated it.
We should have won that one. I hear you guys were having a bit of a barney about Dusty Martin going back to New Zealand.
Oh, don't start. We've had three goes
of this. I'll wait. I think I'm on Russo. I don't think there's anything wrong with Dusty Martin going back to New Zealand. He's in Melbourne. It's a 3-hour flight. Perth is further away than Auckland. I mean, if Mason Cox wanted to go back to Oklahoma, you know, between rounds, that might be an issue. Or if Matt Jack Doyle wanted to go back to the Sudan between, you know, rounds 14 and 15, you might have something to say about that. But no, Dusty will go and he'll agree to make $2.8 million more at North than he will at Richmond.
Fair point. All right, Pete, thanks for joining us, mate. And, gee, your life's just on the up. Couple of great announcements. Well done.
Absolutely. Go Pies. Go TBS.
Well done.
In that order. Yeah. He's got his priorities right. Peter Hellier.
Thanks, guys.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M. Ruined Dits for breakfast.
Distinctive homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house. Your home.
Let's talk about
Tex.
Let's talk about
Tex.
Let's talk about
Tex. It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Good morning, Tex.
Morning. I don't know what it is, but when I drove in, I heard you two just giggling the whole morning.
Yeah.
And it's infectious. I just feel on top of the world.
That's the sort of show we are. Yeah. Hey, you didn't make the trip to the West over the weekend.
Nah.
So you're fully recovered? Have you fixed the toenail?
Yeah, I just need to probably take a couple of steps back and to go forward because it was just a little bit too sore. That's one for you. Yeah, to put that in your prize.
Write that down.
Players miss with a toe all the time, don't they? Big injury.
How's your elbow?
Good, thanks.
Good?
Yep.
That's good. But I thought
was
we might...
Is it your big toe or your little toe?
Oh, big toe.
They actually don't know how bad they are until you do a toe.
It does get
painful. Seriously?
Pain. Yeah. Mm. It is pretty sore, but it's all good now.
Good.
Ready to go. Just need a little bit of rest and got an important 4 weeks coming up.
Yeah. Well done to you blokes too. We're 8 players named in the squad for the All-Australian. That's enormous. Yeah.
I'm surprised we went 10 there, Tex.
Yeah, I thought Brody Smith was a bit stiff. He had an outstanding second half of the year.
Yeah. Who else?
Who else could we have had? Geez, Dougie's had an outstanding year.
Oh, you're just getting greedy now.
What? Oh.
Look, you're top of the ladder. You've had a good year. I mean, obviously, a lot of blokes have played well. Eight's not bad.
Crazy stuff, isn't it?
It's just the strength of where our club's at, I think. It's we don't rely on 2, 3, 4 blokes to play well for us to win. It just
But then Geelong only have 2, and they're, you know, 2 points off us.
Well, there you go.
It's interesting, isn't it? It will be good. Charlie Dixon didn't get in. Ditch, you'd be a bit surprised about that, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Look, he should maybe be in the squad. But again, if you look at, I mean, the forwards, it's going to be hard. You got Buddy, haven't you?
Kennedy, Buddy, Danaher, yeah. Tex.
So it's hard to get in. But
Ben Brown.
But he deserves a mention for sure.
Yeah, you got a mention.
Yeah.
Buddy and Kennedy get in, don't they?
I think
so.
Yeah.
And who out of Brown and Danaher?
Look, interesting to read the stats on Ben Brown yesterday about how, and I agree too, if he was in another team, they'd be raving about him right now.
Ben Brown.
But he's been in a poor side.
The flip side
and has done very well.
The
flip side of those teams with only one good forward, though, Dits, is they go to him all the time.
Yeah.
You know,
still
got to
get it done, though, don't you?
Yeah, still. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. He's a good player and he's got a great kicking technique and he can take a good grab. Mm. And now he's getting paid $800,000 to stay there, they reckon.
Ben Brown.
Yeah, well, they've got all the money spare.
They won't owe any more if they give Dusty all that money.
That's right. Wow. Well, Ditz is a bit angry about the fact they had to fly to New Zealand to see his dad to make a decision.
Look, I don't want to get headline out of this because someone will write, Crows captain slams Dustin Martin. So I want to be careful with what you say here. No, because I'm about to ask Tex what he thinks. But we got into a discussion earlier this morning, a little argument. Mm. Dusty, all we keep hearing my whole life of following footy is the club comes first, it's all about team, et cetera, et cetera. Richmond right now are trying to win their first flag in a long, long time. I don't think it's right that you get a couple of days off and say, I'll fly to New Zealand because it's all about my contract. I'll go out and talk to my dad. Surely you don't fly to New Zealand right now.
That's the media saying that he's flying to New Zealand to talk to his dad.
Why, well,
he hasn't actually come out and said, I'm going to New Zealand to talk to
dad.
No,
he's in New Zealand.
But he's in New Zealand.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, but if I didn't see my dad or mum for a period of time, I'd love to be able to get home and see them.
Yeah, but...
And he's over there in New Zealand.
But Tex, let's say it is you. You're captain of a club playing finals right now. You say to mum and dad, I'll see you in 3 weeks' time. Seriously? No, surely.
Well... I don't know. I don't think it's too bad. How long's the flight to New Zealand?
3 hours.
It's not about that. What's it about? Rory comes out and says, my mum lives in Fiji. I'm going to go there for a couple of days. Even if it's not contract time. I would be saying, no, Rory, you're here to play finals and do that at the end of the finals.
But if they've got a couple of days off, surely it's up for him.
It's not the best preparation, is it?
Well, I'd put full trust in Sloane. If he came to me and said, mate, I'd love to get home to see mum and I haven't seen her for a while. I think it's important that if Sloane is in a good headspace, then that's better for the team.
All right.
What do the boys get up to this week? Because you've got the whole week off in terms of, game on the weekend.
Week
sorry, I meant we haven't got a game on the weekend, but it's a 10-day break. Do you have it 2 or 3 days off this week?
Yeah, so we're going to have...
Most clubs do that,
will
they?
We'll have a solid hit out tomorrow, have Thursday off, solid hit out Friday and... then we'll train Sunday as well because we've got a Thursday night game, which is great. I think it's exciting.
Thursday night should be a full house. And I think that's why Adelaide or Port Adelaide get those games because people come to Adelaide Oval no matter what night of the week it is. So hopefully we'll get a full house there. Was Hugh Greenwood omitted or was he rested on the weekend?
Rested.
Because it said omitted. A few people out there are a bit confused about that. So just trying to get his legs right for the finals.
Well, it's been a big year for Huey, the transition from basketball over to footy. And
court's not quite as long, is it?
No, not quite as long. You've got to move a little bit further. And he's been outstanding. So freshen him up and get him ready for finals.
It's good that you fly him home to see his parents.
Yeah, it was good that you rang in yesterday as well, Tex.
You know the actor Edward Woodward?
Yeah.
Do you want to know what his favourite letter of the alphabet is?
What is it?
It's the letter D.
Why?
Well, if he didn't have the letter D in his name, his name would be Iwa Woowa.
That was a good one yesterday.
Yeah, well done, Tex. More with Tex Walker in just a moment. The Crow Skipper ruined it here. All thanks to the Hospital Research Home Lottery.
Ruined it for breakfast. Tex! 104.7 Triple M.
That is just brilliant vintage Walker.
Because that's where the Rangers gonna be.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Distinctive homes, perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Oh, Tex, now, I have to ask you this. A lot of people would be concerned, two losses in a row going into the finals. Is it a problem? The loss against Sydney wasn't a bad one.
Nah.
And then on the weekend, Ruse explained, very, very hard to get yourselves up when there's not much on it. But what's your take on it?
Yeah, I'm not a real big... fan of saying it's okay that we lost the last two.
Yep.
Sydney, we probably should have won. No disrespect to Sydney, but I was a bit disappointed watching on the weekend. I thought we should have been able to go there and get it done. And
skills
I thought we owed West
text.
Coast one from last year when they kicked us out from a double chance. But it wasn't to be. We're still playing pretty good footy, just not. Like, we just want to be playing the perfect footy. You always want to be playing the perfect footy. But, it's not doomsday.
Mm. The skills weren't great on the weekend, Tex. Like, in that second quarter, you looked like you were dominating, but just couldn't quite connect it up and get to the goals. That was the bit that sort of frustrated me a bit.
The thing that summed it up for us is their ability to get easy goals. Mm. And when we had to get goals, it was really tough to get them. Mm. So, But yeah, we'll be fine. You don't fall in the first spot, sort of luckily.
No, no, exactly. It's been a great season. GWS, what do you take out of it in a game of football where you know that you play them early in the year, you're about 30-odd points down here at the Adelaide Oval, in a great game of footy, you came back and beat them. Do you, when you're running out to play a team like that, do you think back to when you beat them? Do you use that or is it total different game?
Oh, we'll look at some things that we did in that game to beat them, but it'll be a totally different game, obviously. A little bit of different personnel for both teams. There's been 23 games in between that. They're in good form, so she's going to be a great game Thursday night. Mm. It's going to be awesome. Yep. Can't wait.
We're just talking about tight asses earlier on in the show, and now I said to Dits, there's one in every footy club. You know that, and sometimes probably more. How are we looking for blokes a bit? You got a couple down now, I know.
Got a couple of players.
More than your quota.
One head trainer and staff.
Oh,
staff! You're pointing the finger at.
Have you got, can you give us an examples of how how tight they are or not? You don't have to say names.
Well, you know Vinny Del Bono, head trainer.
I know him very well.
He gets the fruit every morning, but he also gets himself a batch for home.
He doesn't put it on the footy club bill.
Don't know whether he puts it on the footy club bill, but he also gets himself
hang on, Vinny.
And if you ever need a muesli bar or some type of fruit, you always go into his office and
got his own little stash.
Got his own little stash, Vinny.
He taught my son at school. Hope he hasn't taught him bad ways.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he used to be a teacher.
Vinny Del Bono.
Down at St. Michael's.
Yeah, he's a good man, Vinny.
Any
yeah.
players?
Yeah, we got a couple of players. 22 and 27.
Andy Otten and Tom Lynch.
Tom Lynch. No, come on.
Redheads are tight, aren't they?
Oh.
Any examples?
Are you?
Oh, I'm not.
Nah, Ditz is not. He's loose.
Give and give.
Nah, I better not give examples of...
No?
Lynch, he'll be spewing. he would be spewing that I said his name. Yeah. I can see him. He'd be...
You know what's going to happen next Thursday? You're going to lead out. He'll have the ball set away. He'll kick straight over you. Yeah. Better option.
Yeah.
Well, if it's 20 metres, I'll be right, because you can't kick over 20 after.
There's always one or two in a club, isn't there?
Oh, every club has them. Yeah. Every club has them.
Mm. Righto, you got a joke for us before you leave?
Yeah, well, I had a bit of a sore throat yesterday, so I thought I'd go and see the doctor. And he started writing out the script with a thermometer. Oh. And I said to him... Doctor, that's a thermometer you're using. He said, oh, shit, you know what that means? Some asshole has me pen.
Oh, no. Oh, text. Sorry to all the Crows kids out there. He's working a bit blue this morning. Sorry about that. A couple of swear words.
That's not a swear word.
Fair enough. Borderline. Can I give you my dad joke for this week?
I'm going to give you your reaction that you give to me.
Righto. No, but you'll like this. And the Lord said to David... Come forth, and I shall give you eternal life. And David said, what do I get if I come fifth?
I'm going.
That's too hard.
Didn't you like that?
I was giving you your reaction that you give
more. Fair enough. All right. 104.7
Triple M. You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Ah! Pressure point.
Ruined Dits. $1,000 pressure test.
Roo, can we give away $1,000?
Well, if I pick it, we probably will.
We haven't done it for a while.
Hey, are you going to pick today?
No, you can pick it.
You sure?
No, you're back in the fold. We're letting you back in now.
God, you made me do it yesterday.
You served
as well.
Your 3-day ban.
All right, let's get Craig from McGill on the line. G'day, Craig.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good, Craig.
What are you up to today?
I have 3 children to get to school and a plum tree that needs pruning.
Have you got the day off, Craig?
Sort of.
Sort of, right.
A bit late pruning.
Well, yeah, I'm a bit slow.
All right. So 3 kids off to school.
Do you know what sort of plum tree it is?
No idea.
Yeah,
plums are plums, Roo.
Not really.
Well, how many varieties of plum? Well, give us 10 varieties of plum in 30
seconds. Satsumas, Wilsons, that's what we grow, 2 different varieties.
Aren't they Mandarin Satsumas?
No.
Aren't they?
No. No, they're a type of plum.
All right, anyway, let's get back to Craig.
All right, Craig, let's win $1,000 because Dits and I are arguing all day today. We're going to be punching on in a minute, 8 o'clock. Righto, 10 correct answers in 30 seconds. Give us 10 girls' names that start with F.
Susan, Sarah, Shane.
That's all right.
Yeah, keep going.
Sally. Well, goodness me. Can't think of any. Susan, Sarah, Shane. Sally. Shelley. No, sorry. Haven't got any.
Sorry, no, that's not one.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Correct.
Five.
Oh, that's tragic.
That's all right.
What else could he have, or what else could he have gone with, Ru?
Stuart Tina.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, Craig, what's our consolation prize, Ru?
We've got...
here it is. We've got tickets to the Royal Adelaide show for you, Craig. All right. Good on you, mate. A double to go. I said you got three kids off to school, so that'll help with taking them to the show. Thanks for calling in, Craig. And by the way, you can pre-purchase your tickets and save up to 15% when compared to the prices
good
at
work.
The gate.
Hey. Hi, I'm Mark Boris. Every single day in Australia, people are busting their guts and starting and running their own businesses. It's a big deal. 60% of Australians are hired by small to medium-sized business owners. These guys are doing their bit, buying stock, hiring people, and paying their taxes. So what is it like to start your own business? How do you go from just running a business on the side after work to owning something much bigger? How do you make it your future? Join me on The Mentor, a weekly show on Podcast One where I speak to Aussie business owners who are working through just that. I find out what makes them tick. I help them work out their next steps for their growth and for their future.
The Mentor with Mark Burris. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Triple M.
The best things in life are free.
Tight ass Tuesday, Ru.
Oh, yeah, we love tight asses. No, we don't. But they're everywhere. There's always one in a football club that's 140, I reckon, is a conservative ratio. I'd say probably 20 to 1.
And I say this to you every time.
So we've got one in the studio.
Do they...
don't look like you want to kill me.
You're looking at me. What have I done?
Nothing. Saying I was making out you're a tight ass and you were supposed to buy it. Well, I thought you did.
I was about to.
I know you were. You look like you're about to launch at me there across the desk.
Coming from you. Now.
Coming from me.
Anyone that heard,
he couldn't stop there, Mel.
Anyone that heard the cat saga yesterday. Now, Mel, I'm talking to you now because he's being rude to me and argumentative.
Yep.
You know the cat died.
Yes.
Up at the Ricciuto.
Yeah, hey, she'll be brokenhearted.
Don't laugh about it. God, you're in tears laughing yesterday. At the haunted house in Burnside,
yes.
The Amityville horror that he's moved
cemetery.
In. Pet cemetery.
Yep.
He's rung the breeder.
Poor
Roo's on the bones of his backside. Has rung and put pressure on the breeder.
Yeah.
I didn't pressure the breeder.
The grieving
have
process
you got
moves
a free
quickly.
Cat out of this?
I might have. Yeah.
Tight ass Tuesday.
I haven't told the kids yet. Just keep it quiet.
They won't be listening.
No, they won't be.
Oh, God. Righto, what have you got for us, Roo?
For Tight Ass Tuesday, we've got a nice little montage here of some of our past callers.
My brother, we work in the construction industry. We got knocked off because it was that 39 degree day, and he had to wait around for another hour so he wouldn't lose his early bird parking ticket.
Bradley Crabb is the captain of the South Adelaide Panthers.
Oh, right.
Now, he still jumps in the boot of the car to come across the Kangaroo Island to save himself $60 a turn.
Years ago, I worked at the Roadhouse, and this couple come in and ordered 2 meals and 2 coffees, and the man was eating and the laddie was just sitting there. About 5 minutes went by and I went up and I said, is there something wrong? And she said, I'm just waiting for my husband's false teeth. I went back in the kitchen and I said, oh my God.
That is unbelievable. Sharing teeth.
Now, I've got
you
one
guys
here.
Got such similar teeth.
There's a couple here interstate. This happened on the weekend.
Oh no.
Splashed out. They got married and they're in their full regalia. Like, she's got a beautiful wedding dress on and he's dressed to the nines and he's got his wedding party.
Mm-hmm.
And they've gone to Bunnings Sausage Sizzle.
Full gas. What? The finger food.
Bunnings Sausage.
Mole does.
He said, but they can have onions as well. He said, not just the sausage. He's fleshed out.
Oh,
now that is tight, surely.
That is just disgraceful. That's not even close to being acceptable.
If you're the bride, you just walk off then, don't you? I'm not hanging around here.
Get stuffed.
But as we said, I was going to say to you, talk about footy clubs, Roo. Isn't it funny? They always think they get away with it, these blokes, but we're onto them straight away. It's embarrassing.
I think they know. I think they try and convince themselves that no one else maybe knows.
Yeah.
They know, and they're happy to take the punt because in their world, saving a dollar is worth, you know, their life, isn't it?
It is. All right, 133.53, tight ass Tuesday. What have you got for us? What prize have we got?
We got four tickets to the SNFL finals this weekend. It's going to crank up. No AFL footy this weekend. Get along to the SNFL, go with a few mates and have a bit of a laugh.
Norwood Centrals and Port Sturt, two great games.
Absolutely. SNFL.com.au if you aren't lucky enough to win tickets here and you want to purchase some.
All right, 133.53, tight ass Tuesday. What have you got for us?
Ruined Dits for breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Things in life are free.
Tight ass Tuesday, 6:52. Roo, who have you got on the blower?
Let's go to Flagstaff Hill. Good day, Brad.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. You got a good tight ass story for us?
Yeah. So my nana recently went on a cruise, and she didn't want to spend $1.50 every day on a coffee. So instead, she went out and bought three of those bulk packets of the Nescafe sachet coffee.
Yeah.
Packed them in her suitcase so she could have them every day.
Oh, good on you, Nan. I see she's been brought up in tough times, though, Brad. Nan?
Oh, I wouldn't say so, living off her pension.
What?
But, Brad, you see, the more she saves, though, Brad, I mean, it's going to come down to you in the will.
That's
It'll filter down, Brad. I mean, you got to...
So I can expect Nescafe sachets in my will.
That's right.
That's
you'll have loads of them. All right, good on you, Brad.
Yeah, let's go to Newton. G'day, Tony.
Buongiorno, boys!
Hey.
How are you?
Hey, Tony.
It's your favourite plumber. My boss used to be a classic. Remember in the good old days where they used to deliver the advertiser round up, hauled up in the round thing?
Yep.
Well, my tight-ass boss, seriously, was that tight. He used to use that bluish plastic to wrap his lunch in.
Fantastic.
Hey, that's recycling.
That is. That's recycling.
That's right.
Good on you, Tony.
Good on you, Tony. Let's go to Athelstan. G'day, Ron.
How are you?
Good, Ron.
That's good. Real ditch. Well done for the footy teams.
Yeah, bloody hell. Good on you.
Okay, now you're never going to believe this, but this is actual fact. We go over, we used to have a shack at the peninsula down at Foul Bay.
Yep.
And on the Yorks, go down there fishing a lot. And we have one bloke, you know, he'll pay your way, you get your beer and your food, and you bring it over.
Yeah.
Anyway, on the way over in his car, he hit a bronze-winged pigeon. They pulled up. This is a fact. Pulled up, got the pigeon, brought it down the shack, plucked it, and ate it for tea with a nice red wine. And this guy... Oh. Now, listen to you guys. This guy is tight. You have no idea. He went overseas. He went over to get a wife. He didn't come back with anything because it's going to cost him about $3,000. This is true.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, that's about it.
Yeah.
It's some poor bloke standing in his backyard waiting for that pigeon to fly back.
You know the Italians, how tight it was? They used to shoot spoggies in the CBD in Adelaide and eat spoggies.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Yeah, Mario Ricciuto, if you're listening, good morning. Yeah. Sean at Angle Park. G'day, Sean.
G'day, boys. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
G'day, Sean.
Mate, back when I was a young lad, my brother was playing junior football for a local Sandful football club.
Mm.
They used to have the pies and parties nights, as you know, boys. And Mum used to help out in the kitchen, you know. She used to love to get down there and give them a hand.
Mm.
They used to make the girls scrape the sauce back off the plates into the sauce bottle for next time.
Oh, come on.
That's true story.
You're making
story,
that boys. Up.
That can't be right, Sean.
Absolutely, 100%. I'm all one. On the old lady's grave, I'll swear that.
You live at Angle Park. Now.
There's every chance that was Port Adelaide. Mark at Meadows. G'day, Mark.
Morning, boys. How are we?
You can't beat those, Mark, can you?
Oh, they're pretty good. They're pretty good. But, lads, I've got one that might knock your socks off.
Yeah.
One of the lads back in the day, a couple of years ago, we're cruising down Hindley Street and a bit of a night out, and he must have had a bit of a chat to one of the homeless lads.
Mm.
And hands over a $5 note to him, but dead set, took $2.50 change.
No.
Legit.
I'm happy to help, but not that much.
Yeah, I can't give you five, but, you know, what if we meet you halfway?
Can we do a deal?
Look, I don't mind. That's, you know, it's better than nothing.
Bargaining with a homeless man.
That's right.
Righto, thanks, Mark.
Gee, well done, Mark. Good, great stories there.
Gee whiz.
Gee, that was very good.
Next, you're
glad
out.
Wrap off the
next
paper.
Next time you're out in town, go to a homeless block. Have you got change for a five? Seriously.
Look, I love the sauce back in the bottle. That was good. I love the paper to wrap your sandwiches. But, mate, if you're going to stop, hit the pigeon, pick it up, pluck it.
Yeah. And, the pigeon thought, this is my lucky day. I've been hit. This bloke's going to take me home and look after me. Sort of...
He was plucked.
Oh, gee whiz. When you open the lid of the web, he said, that's going to give me a shoulder as well. This is lovely. What a guy.
He made a cage for me. Jeez, a bit hot there.
No windows in here.
Right. Give it to Ron.
Righto.
Ron from Athens.
Good on you, Ron.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Sean, sorry, can we just ask you a couple of questions? As we know, very, very serious incident that North Korea has filed a missile towards Japan. How much do we know about it?
Well, there's no confirmation this was a nuclear missile. So what's happened is that they've fired it without warning from near Pyongyang. Yep. Japanese alert system was activated, a J-alert warning it's called. So people in the area were advised to take precautions to go inside. The Japanese military, interestingly, didn't attempt to shoot down the missile. So they just let it go. And it's landed in the ocean about 1,000 k's off Japan, which is still pretty close, really. Mm. And it's burst into three pieces. So that's all we know at the moment. So
what is it? Just like a little shot over the bow type thing to let them know that they could land one there if they wanted to? Or?
They could, yeah. And this all comes, you know, a couple of weeks after they warned that they might, you know, shoot one near Guam. And, you know, the US responded to that verbally, at least.
I see where this missile travelled over 1,200 kilometres. So it's
pulled up 1,000 short.
Yeah, 1,000 short. So they're just messing
around. You
want
to get it right, wouldn't you?
Yeah, but. I just wonder what Trump's reaction will be to this. So this will be the thing for me in the next few hours. What will the Americans say?
What about Mr. Japan? What will he say?
He's already made a comment, by the way, and he just warned people to stay inside, take cover. But I'm sure he's not too impressed. I've just read, too, where North Korea did this once before, a few years ago. It's not the first time they've done it, but they are playing with fire in a big, big way because Donald Trump tends to react to these things, doesn't he?
Yeah, I think the whole world needs to react to this sort of carry on.
See what happens over the next 24 hours.
What if there's a bloody boat there or something?
Yeah.
Accidentally.
No, it's dangerous. It's it's not smart at
all.
Yeah,
fishing for the day.
Yeah.
Boom.
Ruin dits for breakfast. The hard-hitting topics. The big issues.
Well, not really.
Let's ask the angels.
Infamous, the only Spiegel Big Top with world-class acts.
Sure, hang on, excuse me. Good morning, angels. Don't speak until
God.
Sorry, good morning, angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Hey, Rue, how's the discipline here this morning?
I'm telling you, it's gone straight their bloody heads.
I know. Just take
they
over.
Need their wings clipped.
They do. God, just tone it down, please, girls. Sorry. Hey, we're doing it all for Infamous, the only Spiegel Big Top with world-class acts down there at Bonython Park.
That sounds good, that.
It's getting rave reviews. It really is.
We didn't get any invites.
Yeah. We got some freebies.
I got them emailed to me. Do you want to go?
Yeah.
Oops.
Okay, so someone's used my tickets.
Our PA, right.
The old producer that gets into every chairman's club functionality club.
And then I get people stop in the street. Didn't you get that invite? I go, no.
Our producer did that.
Saw Alice there.
Alice had a good time.
That's fancy that.
Righto, our first topic.
You were talking about bedrooms.
Yeah, this came up at a dinner party last week. We had all these couples around, and I always thought that girls were sugar and spice and all things nice, and boys, you know, teenage boys are just grots, basically.
Filthy little pigs.
It came up. We were right around the table, though. Girls' bedrooms are disgusting, and the boys are tidy.
I've told you about toilets in pubs, Dits. The women's toilets are a lot messier than the boys.
Now, let's go to Mel the button pusher first. Mel, yes. Girls' rooms are untidy. What's the story?
They are worse.
Why?
Much worse.
What's wrong with you girls?
I think outfits get tried on and discarded. There's makeup. There's a limbo that occurs with clothes with girls because you wear something or try something on. It's not dirty, but it's not pristine. So you kind of just put it somewhere.
Deal with it later.
And then it stays there. So, and you don't want to put it away because it might have been out, you know, for a little while. And
How long do you think that item will stay there?
A good few days before you decide whether it's washing or put awayable.
Oh, my God.
And then, it just accumulates and it's a mess and girls are much worse, I find.
All right, Alice Wags. I'm looking at Alice thinking you're a candidate.
Well, you've spoken about this.
I am the worst probably in Adelaide for this. Mm. Like at the moment, because I've been in the messy stage, if I need an outfit, it's always on my floor. Everything in my wardrobe is like old clothes I'm not wearing. Honest, it's so bad. So probably every 6 weeks.
So you've got your
old
clothes hanging up nicely and your good clothes on the floor.
Correct. Because I wear them, you wear them once. Like jeans, you're not supposed to wash every time you wear them. So you chuck them on the ground and you've got this chair and then eventually the chair piles up and then you start putting it on the bottom of the chair. And so now it's just this huge pile of clothes and it's just too overwhelming to clean up.
Too overwhelming.
Yeah, it's like really dark.
This is from the girl who gets overwhelmed about going into Bunnings, isn't it?
That's it.
Makes her go to the toilet.
Righto, Ange, married to the package.
I'm just listening to Alice going, oh my God, I can't believe that, because I'm like super clean, super tidy.
Yes,
everything gets like hung up. None of my clothes get left on the floor or anything. But I was thinking about my son and daughter's room. And I think my son's room is actually quite clean. But Ava's room is just, I think girls just have more stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and they collect things. And, she runs out of shelf, so everything just gets piled up in there. And
how old is she?
Stuff. Eight.
Eight?
But it's the lip glosses and it's eye patches. It's all sorts of stuff. And then I'll have a massive clean. I'm like, keep it clean.
Mm.
And a couple of days later, she starts sort of collecting her pile again of stuff. Just little stuff.
I think girls are actually more likely to hoard as well.
Mm, yeah, exactly.
So like, I have so many clothes and I'm like, oh, I don't want to throw it out, but I'm never going to wear it again. Yeah. So we don't have the space to put it away.
Because you think things come back into fashion.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you buy expensive things, I don't want to throw that out. I'm going to keep it because it'll come back.
Yeah.
And when it does come back about 7 years later, like, yes, I knew it.
Alice, when you shift house one day, you can save. Don't buy a wardrobe because everything's on the floor.
Yeah, exactly. A floor
drobe. Yeah, floor drobe. Yeah. Righto. Next thing. This came through earlier this morning. We spoke to a professor about this. 40% of women, 10,000 women were surveyed. It's
Australian women too. Australian
women, 40% suffer either depression or anxiety. Mel, that's an incredible high number.
18 to 35-year-olds.
Can you relate to that? Do you think a lot of your girlfriends, a lot of people you know, talk about this sort of thing, 40%?
I'm thinking of my friends and I don't feel like it's reflected, but you do see a lot of it. And I think things are just harder now than they ever were. It's... when I went to school, you weren't going through school with social media and all that sort of thing. So I'm scared for teenage girls and 20-somethings who are comparing themselves with everyone else on social media. I guess that's a big part of it. But I'm shocked it's that high.
I said it was 18 to 35-year-olds. They've got the highest bracket, but it's actually, this is 10,000 18-pluses. So right up there was an 89-year-old that got surveyed. But 18 to 35s are the worst. But they haven't actually surveyed younger than 18. And our doctor said that they could be worse.
Mm. That's when you're striving to make a career and you're at uni and you're trying to make a life for yourself as well. I reckon it would be pretty high amongst blokes, but perhaps it would be underreported with guys as well.
But do women create this in a way where, and I'm being very, very serious, you're attractive girls, all of you, and you
thank you.
But you come in and you'll say things about, I don't know about this, jacket that I'm wearing, or I don't know about my hair today. And
you can't go to the gym because they're worried about people looking at them and stuff like that.
Yeah, my own wife is guilty of this, where she'll say, I won't, eat or drink all week because I think I'm fat. And there's no way in the world she's put an ounce on. And I look, and we have these discussions, and I say, why do you put yourself through this?
Because there's pressures coming from everywhere.
But is there?
Yes. Like social media, like people look everyone up and down. Girls judge you on your clothes and how you're looking, and boys do it as well. So
is it all social media? How much to blame is it, Ange, do you think?
So just going back to that stat, I definitely agree with it. It's probably
40%
higher than
40%. Anxiety.
Yeah. I think now it's probably, the realistic number is probably higher because I think... a lot of people that have it probably don't talk about it.
Really?
Yeah, because I've suffered anxiety before, probably over about a 3-year period. And you just, sometimes you don't know it's actually happening. And so sometimes you just don't talk about it and you think you're going a bit crazy and you spend a lot of time in your head. And and back then there wasn't a lot of social media wasn't a thing. Okay. It was just, it's more worry, self-doubt, worry. You just worry about a lot of things. And then I think maybe a chemical imbalance as well. And, but... you need to seek, you know, sort of
right,
advice.
But they, and we know about that. They are the mental sides of depression. And you talk about chemical imbalance. It's a proven fact. And people are given medication for that. I want to hit you with a real, real hard-hitting question here, though. Three of you here right now have got little girls, right? You've got daughters. What I hear all the time, and I'm sorry to be so frank here, but I'll hear that, like, you've got an eight-year-old, Ange. Oh, I'm having an eight-year-old birthday party this weekend. The girls are such bitches to each other. Yeah, you can have an eight-year-old boys' party, and they'll just run around all day outside and play footy, cricket, you know, fight, wrestle, do whatever. Can we as parents then, and grandparents, start changing little girls from now? Like, why do we say that? Why do we say, oh, God, I'm having a seven- or an eight-year-old girls' party, and they're all bitches?
Well, my friends don't, they're not little bitches, but I understand what you're saying. I know what you're saying. I know, yeah. But, well, yes, and I think it is about communication and education and, you know, sort of teaching your kids young what is good behaviour, what's poor behaviour, what's right and what's wrong from an early age. Like, yes, I definitely
should we not be saying to them all the time, oh, you look so gorgeous?
Correct.
Yeah.
Really?
Shouldn't be the first thing you say.
No, I agree. Is it, you know, because we just say, oh, you've got to be, you've obviously got to be good looking.
Yeah,
don't
I don't think you need to say that, but I think you
but
need
people
to have
say
give
that
your
all
kids
the
confidence.
Time to them, to their face, don't they? Oh, you look gorgeous and
but
you
girls
look beautiful.
Do want to look pretty and, and they can still want that with still wanting other things as well.
You can talk about a girl being beautiful so long as you're also asking what she's reading and what her favourite thing is at school. And
yeah,
like,
exactly. Yeah, it's
not
just about looks
you're pretty.
And superficial
that's the thing that most annoys me about girls is like if you it's a Saturday afternoon and you just you can't just text a girl and go, hey, you want to go to the pub now? Like, because girls, they don't have an outfit ready. They haven't got time to get ready, you know? Most girls can't just spontaneously go to the pub. Because like, oh, well, will we go out after? Do I need to wear heels? Like, there's just so much pressure, even just on something little going to the pub. Is like, oh, well,
yeah, but
you know.
Are you all this, is this for people that you even care about? Or is this people that just might look at you on Instagram that you
both.
Don't even know? Yeah, so both. Your friends both. Will judge you if you're not dressed properly, will they?
Not so much judge you, but they'll... You feel like you have to look nice for them. Definitely.
Yeah, if you see, I don't see. I think my friends like decided we wouldn't give a shit.
No.
Like, we're just like, whatever. But it's probably other people. Sometimes you dress for just other people looking at you.
But do you have to?
You know what I mean? No, you don't have to, but, you know.
You
we care. You know what?
You
we
do.
Care. Mm. We want. Yeah. We do want to, you know, that's society. We want to look good.
We've opened the can of worms.
Well,
here.
It's a sad stat. It's a sad stat, and it's sad for Australia, I think. It's terrible.
It is. All right. Thanks, Angels.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Ruined dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
We heard about half an hour ago.
Unbelievable.
News broke that North Korea have fired a missile towards Japan.
Yep.
Now, it fell into the ocean. It dropped short.
1,000 Ks short. And it went 12,000 Ks, though. So
1,200 Ks and then fell a little bit short. But it's still obviously an alarming situation. And what I fear is that in the next 12 hours, 24 hours, the Americans might respond. Let's see how Japan responds. Let's find out more. A fellow who's spoken to quite a bit, he's a terrorism expert at Deakin University, Professor Greg Barton. Professor Barton, good morning. What do you think this means? Is this just a little drop in the ocean or is this quite serious?
Look, it's a very provocative action. It's 1,200 k's east of the Japanese mainland, the island of Hokkaido. So it's flown all across the Sea of Japan. Normally these missile launches from North Korea go east of the Korean Peninsula, fall short of Japan, to the west of Japan. This has flown over the Japanese islands, and then 1,200 k's beyond Japan.
Gee.
And the Japanese are describing it as unprecedented and, of course, provocative. It was also very audacious because if there was any sort of technical failure, and North Korea is still in its early days of missile technology, so, you know, it can't be confident of how its technology is going to work. If there had been a technical failure, even if that was the intended trajectory, it could easily have broken up over the Japanese mainland and there could have been pieces falling in Japan. So it's quite a bit of hubris to attempt this. It's also, of course, a deliberate provocation. They launched three missiles on Saturday. These were short-range missiles that fell between the Korean Peninsula and Japan. But this is the first time I can recall we've had an overflight over the Japanese island.
What's the world going to do here, Greg? Is he deliberately just upping the ante bit by bit and sort of wanting a war? Or what's he hoping to get out of this?
Look, that's a really good question. The answer is we don't know. He understands that a war would destroy North Korea, destroy his regime and cause immense suffering, you know, tens of thousands of lives lost, perhaps many more. No one wants that. And we're not even speaking here of a nuclear exchange. The thing is that there's just no good military options. People talk glibly about launching a strike on North Korean missile facilities, That would take some of them out, but a lot of them are very deep in the mountains. In the meantime, the North Koreans would have time to respond with an artillery barrage on Seoul, which is just over the border. You've got 20 million people living within range of artillery shells, and estimates suggest tens of thousands could be killed within minutes if North Korea opened up with that option. So the question as to what he's trying to achieve with this is not clear. This was certainly a provocation of Japan. It comes just a short time after Trump had almost congratulated him in tweets for not sending missiles towards Guam, U.S. territory. The Japanese have been testing an anti-missile missile system, so perhaps it was designed to deter them from going further down that route, but it's hardly likely to do that either.
Greg, we've heard conflicting, or I've read conflicting things in recent months about just how strong he is, what his arsenal is actually like, and how well organised it may be. Some are saying very, very strong, and others are saying, you know, pathetic. Do you know a lot about his arsenal? What weaponry has he got?
Well, there's a couple of things we know with certainty. One is in terms of conventional arsenal, conventional artillery rounds, the sort of thing that you would use with an engagement between North Korea and the South, particularly just over the border in Seoul. There's no question that North Korea would be quickly defeated by the combined forces of South Korea and the US. Got lots of US forces stationed there. But they can inflict enormous damage before they would defeat it. Just those conventional artillery rounds falling on a city of 20 million people in Seoul could take out tens of thousands very quickly. North Korea can't possibly win a military exchange even with conventional weapons, but it can certainly do enormous damage. We know that they have tested a hydrogen bomb, the more powerful kind of nuclear bomb. We know that they now have medium and long range missiles. This missile over Japan was probably medium range, but they tested long range missiles, firing them almost vertically, but the height achieved suggests quite a long horizontal range potentially. But I suppose the short answer is they've made more advances that we can tell just in the last 12, 24 months than we had thought possible. So we can't safely assume that they're as pathetic as we'd like to imagine. They may actually have the capacity to launch some sort of nuclear device over some distance, and that's a very scary thought.
Greg, would world leaders be considering trying to take this bloke out or not?
They've certainly looked at it. People nowadays you do computer-based war games. I mean, they're not sort of fun exercises. They're sort of massive computer exercises looking at all the possibilities. All of the simulations have shown that any kind of attempt to take the regime out has the capacity to go catastrophically wrong, launch a nuclear exchange. But even if it went as well as possible, would still be too high a price to pay. So they looked at the option, and the answer is there are no good options.
Professor Greg Barton, thanks so much for joining us. He's counter-terrorism expert at Deakin University. These are scary times, Roo. I can see a reaction to this in a big, big way. You don't go setting off missiles and firing them towards Japan. You just
pretty
don't.
Cocky, isn't he?
It is, yeah. Roo and Ditz here for breakfast on Triple M.
104.7 Triple M.
104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo and Ditz for breakfast. A ladies' women's health survey, I should say, it's called the Jean Hales Women Health Survey of 2017, has found that 40% of women have been professionally diagnosed with depression or anxiety. 40%.
That's a frighteningly high number, obviously.
It is.
Even if it was, a tenth of that, or, you know, it would be still too high. But that is amazing. I can't believe it.
One of the doctors involved in this study is Dr. Helen Brown. She joins us. Dr. Brown, good morning. That sounds an incredibly high number. How accurate do you think it is?
Yeah, it's pretty scary, isn't it? Well, considering that the sample size was over 10,000 women across the whole of Australia, it's even more valid, really, and it's quite concerning. I suppose it was really interesting that it was the 18 to 35-year-olds that actually scored higher on the anxiety scale than the others.
Yeah. This is a real general sweeping statement, I know, but I just want to get your opinion on this. I'm in my 50s. I have two boys in their 20s now, so I had boys go through teenage years. How often, when you're sitting with your friends at a dinner party or at a barbecue, people say, oh, I've got teenage girls? And it's almost like this doom and gloom, oh, my God, I've got these hard years ahead of us. Is that, I mean, do you know what I mean?
Is it unfair on the girls? Is that what you're saying?
Is it unfair or we just hear everyone say it.
Putting a fair bit of pressure at them, but, there is that definite idea that the girls are a bit more emotional than the boys, maybe. And I've got daughters, so I can see that as well. But I think, the expectations of social media play a big part on them too, looking at all these divine-looking creatures online and then having to sort of live up to their expectations.
But that didn't come out of the survey. That's just my comment.
Yeah. So what reasons do you think? What did they mainly give as, say, having anxiety? I mean, I know
they're overweight.
It's a physical. It can be a physical condition to have depression, anxiety. Well, it is.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
But what
yeah.
contributes to it? Do you think?
Without a doubt, the 18 to 35-year-old age group is predominantly when mums are having their first babies, so that's obviously surrounding a lot of anxiety
yep.
for them.
Yep.
So that would play a major part in it as well, I'd say. But, yeah, they were pretty tired lot too. They weren't getting a lot of sleep, so that might feed into it.
So do you think they've only interviewed here 18-year-olds or so adults? Do you think I get the feeling that teenagers and all that now are even more so exposed to social media and probably would be even worse.
Yeah, and we'd love to go a bit earlier. I must admit, we went from 18 above in our survey, but next year I'd love to do adolescents and see what the story is for them, yeah.
And what about, say, let's flip to, say, 60-plus or something? Would they be considerably less because they're been around a bit longer and not, understand that perhaps maybe it isn't that bad?
Yeah, we even had an 89-year-old woman answer the survey, and they said that, yeah, they've been through menopause. They see it as a really positive stage in their life, and their mood is actually better. They've been through this wonderful transition into, you know, being a bit more self-assured, they told us. Mm. Yeah.
Just getting back to the teenagers, I had a 14-year-old girl tell me recently, and by the way, this girl is so gorgeous in every way, and I think wouldn't have a care in the world. And she said to me, oh, going to high school, you know, it's horrible, it's so hard. And again, it was all of this outside pressures that you've talked about.
Yeah.
I know I'm making the comparison. I don't tend to hear boys say that as much. And yet I know boys do get bullied at school, but it just, the girls seem to have such a difficult time.
Yeah, I think it's the language around it, I must admit. You know, the language that all the girls use and people use with the women. So, yeah, I think that's all involved for sure. Yeah.
So what do we got to do, Dr. Brown? How do we fix this?
Well, I reckon first up is the fact that they weren't being active enough. Maybe they need to get outside and do a bit more activity too.
Get the whip
because
out
that
a bit.
Is one of the not necessarily the whip, but, yeah, getting outside and socialising out in the sun and going for walks and things like that.
All right, and maybe us blokes have got a role to play. We need to
help
them along as well, encourage them.
Encourage them.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, Dr. Brown, thanks so much for joining us.
No worries.
Thank you.
Rue, we might hit up the Angels with this a little bit later on. This alarm, 40% of women.
Frightening. That is absolutely frightening.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not good at all. It's horrible.
All right, Rue and Ditz for breakfast here, all thanks to the Hospital Research Home Lottery.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on our catch-up podcast for the Hospital Research Home Lottery, 104.7 Triple M.